Pruno!
Couldn't you go blind from that, technically? Or is there not enough?
I mean, you can go blind from anything.
Weird, you forgot to say hello
you
to the internet.
You should know.
I said I like Pruno, but internet knows that I love them. Ducklings are cuter than bunnies.
Yes, I don't like bunnies.
You don't like them?
No, they freak me out.
Why do they freak you out?
Well, they're delicious.
Even when they're little tiny and their ears haven't grown in yet, I think that's hilarious.
They're cute when they get big. I don't know. They're just freaky. I think it's the whole predator-prey animal thing. I don't really... Prey animals, I think, make shitty pets. And they just are, like, always neurotic, you know.
So you heard it here. Brita is anti-Legomorph.
They're always waiting to get eaten.
They're always waiting to get... Yeah.
He's the antsy, too.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey. I was looking over your shoulder for that Eric Hawk.
So just so you know, the Brita is anti-Legomorph, anti-cephalopod.
Oh, I have a weird thing with cephalopods. I don't know. They're good and bad.
They're delicious.
Yeah, they're delicious.
You
that's true.
You and the Japanese, Brita.
I'm not that way about cephalopods.
These, which are also delicious. All about can you eat it? Bunnies, yeah. Yes. Calamari, yes. It's all good.
So before we officially
start, squid sushi.
And squid jerky.
And squid jerky. Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Squid jerky is tasty.
It's delicious. Alan can't eat any of this.
Nope.
Allergic to the mollusks.
You can have all mine.
He's mollusk intolerant.
You're allergic to mollusks?
Actually, you know what? I don't know if I'm allergic to mollusks. I'm allergic to shellfish in general.
So is it the shell?
I don't know.
Because, are you allergic to clams?
Yes.
Aren't octopi?
Oysters.
Honestly, you know what? They said don't eat anything unless it has fins. So I was like, okay. So.
Squid have fins.
Yeah, but not
done
like
and done.
That.
Don't eat any snorkelers, Alan.
Yeah. So, well, anyway. Hey, guess what? It's Thursday and we're having a squirrel report. So,
yes, we are.
I want to say before we get started, as I alluded to in the announcement post that probably nobody saw.
I read it.
Every week we have a whole bunch of people that listen, and by a whole bunch I mean more than 10. And every week we have two or three that call in.
Yeah, the same two or three.
I want every one of you people that's listening that's never called in to pick up the phone and call in. And even if you don't have anything to say or you don't think we are interested in hearing what you have to say or anything like that, just call in and just say hi because we want to hear from you.
That'd be cool.
Stand and be counted.
That's right. We want to.
We'll ask you questions.
We want to put a voice to a name.
Quiz you.
It's the pop quiz show.
And you get bonus points if you speak entirely in Mandarin.
And we'll have a big prize for the best call.
Oh?
Yes.
It's really? A whack of the Hugo Chavez pinata.
Yes, a really big prize.
For a really big show. They're going to have Chavez, like, stuffed and taxidermied or something.
Yes, he's the South American.
He's going to be on permanent display now.
Nice.
That's so creepy. Like, they're going to set him, I don't know, are they going to prop him up in the corner or they're going to
put him on the sofa? They're going to have him mounted so he looks really threatening.
What is it with communists in preserving their leaders? They don't have
a religious thing, so they substitute their creepy.
I maintain that communism is every bit of religion.
Well, yes, it is. They don't admit it, but yes.
I think they should call it Weekend at Hugo's. Oh. And just like walk them around the country, put them in a car, drive them around.
Have some lady bang him.
Oh God!
That scene of Weekend at Bernie's. My mom laughs so hard when the chick bangs the corpse.
Your mom?
My mom.
She's into necrophilia, huh?
Only at Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, Lordy.
So I've had an interesting week. I'm on a diet and exercise thing. I'm trying to do the like low carb thing, and I seriously would kill somebody for like a loaf of bread right now.
Rita, why do you want a diet?
A cookie and a beer.
Just so you know, everyone, Brita has blown up to a voluptuous 97 pounds.
I know. I just feel like, you know, if I don't start now, I'm having the, like, oh, my God, I'm turning 40 soon kind of, you know, if I don't start now, things are going to, I don't know.
Brita now officially weighs as much as one of my legs.
Yeah. But, you know, 550, I'm going to be like the 700-pound woman that they need, like, a crane to get out of the house.
That'd be hot, actually. That's
just in my head, of course. But, you know, the whole no beer thing and the no bread, I'm like, I don't even know, like, how to plan meals anymore without starch in there.
Just like, so you know, Brita, gin has zero carbs.
Really?
Yep, this lovely martini in front of me is carb-free.
That's not true.
It's 100% true. During the Atkins craze, the company that owns, like, it's what, Tanqueray, Bacardi, and I think Chivas Regal. There was a bunch of booze companies that I might as well own stock in.
And when that alcohol metabolizes into sugar in your bloodstream, how many carbs are in it then?
But it only counts when you're drinking it. What your body does after the fact is its business.
Wrong.
My body, my choice.
My liver.
Well,
my choice.
I've kind of made a compromise. You know, beer only on Friday and Saturday, and no nothing the rest of the week, kind of thing. We'll see how it turns out. This is the first week. They say that the carb cravings like go away eventually. I don't believe them.
Nicotine cravings.
My God.
Yeah, nicotine cravings never go away.
I'm going to start having dreams about Italian bread, you know.
Plates of pasta.
No. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, anybody else have news for the week? Anything?
What for
Alan?
The week?
And any news for the week?
To think.
Wow. Do you have a crickets sound effect?
Because
you should get one.
I'm sure I can. I'm trying to think of anything exciting that I could mention on basically. I'm trying to think of anything that was exciting that I could tell China, and I'm coming up blank. So,
hey China, no rice for me.
I have some top secret news that will be unveiled later next week.
Dun dun dun. Okay.
Oh, top secret.
Top secret.
So you are going to be here next week?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Don't make me hunt you down.
Whoa.
Okay, never mind. I won't be here this next week. Never mind. I was given a better option of being hunted down by Brita. Sorry, guys. if you were in my shoes, you would do the same.
But we kind of had a weird week news-wise. You know, stuff has been happening.
Let me play the intro.
Yeah, do that.
Hey, looky there. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2013. This is episode 49. The big 5-0 is next week.
It is Wednesday, April 75th. 2022.
Okay.
Good enough. We're not keeping count. How many episodes is this?
9 million.
This is 49.
49. That's crazy. Oh, wow.
That's right. Squirrel Port is currently going on a carb-free diet.
Yeah. I have been asking Mike. I was like, do you feel like I'm punishing you? I'm sorry. You can have bread if you want. I feel really bad. But so far, the low-carb thing has made me cook more, so he's happy.
And what you're cooking is bacon!
Yeah, big bacon and meat and, you know, stuff. So he's not unhappy.
Bacon.
Yeah. Beef ribs.
Can you have fruit-based carbs?
Yeah, I fruits and vegetables, I don't care. I'm just, you know, no bread, no rice, no pasta, no cookies.
No beer.
No beer. Yeah. I'm having tea. It's okay.
Tea is carb-free.
You know what they're going to come out with? They're going to discover, like, in 20 years that tea is the absolute worst thing you could possibly put into your body.
Well, I mean, they're going to go like eggs. every third year, eggs are the worst thing ever.
Oh, I saw a thing this morning that was saying that bacon was horrible for you. And
yeah, no shit.
And, what?
oh yeah, they were like, oh yes, the adult humans should not eat more than 2 slices of bacon every day.
Oh, every day? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
I can do that.
You know what's else also horrible for you? Cigarettes and booze. Yeah. You know what's also fucking awesome? Cigarettes and booze and bacon.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? You can be alive or you can be happy.
I'll take my eggs and bakey.
I got Bacon of the Month Club for Christmas from my brother. And I was curious. And because, you know, they send you like a pound of bacon or, yeah. They 12 ounces is a pound now, by the way. So they send you bacon every month. And so I was curious, like, how much was this Bacon of the Month Club? How much it cost? And I looked up the thing, and for 3 months of the Bacon of the Month Club, it's $100.
Damn.
So that's $33 a pound bacon.
That's pretty and it's not even a full pound.
No.
It's an Obama metric system pound.
Yeah, I'm just like, well, thank you.
Is it $25 better than Oscar Mayer?
It really is not. I mean, it's good bacon. I will say it's good bacon. Excellent bacon. $33 a pound.
I gotta say, I messed around with all sorts of like crazy exotic fancy pants bacon, and I gotta say, Oscar Mayer makes some pretty goddamn good bacon.
They do.
I was super duper prejudiced because I'm like, these guys make bologna.
My brother has been, you know, he's famous for his kind of extravagant gifts.
Why can't his extravagant gifts go bang?
There you go.
You're gonna spend a shitload.
No, it's very nice.
If you're gonna spend a shitload of money on make it in durable goods that go bang.
That's real durable.
Or at least copper jacketed lead.
Well, I mean, he's not made of money.
For that same $100, you could've got a brick of 22.
So anyway. Yeah.
Everybody call in. 214-325. No, that's not my number. 214-530-0036. Don't call my cell phone.
I have some I have some interesting news. I officially got my renewed Massachusetts LTC.
Woo-hoo. Oh, congratulations.
Like all of 20 days before my door was going to get kicked down and I was going to get shot to death by the police.
Congratulations. You get to live.
To be fair, they weren't exactly all that slow. It was the I didn't realize because the sheet that I got was for renewals and for new applicants. I did not realize that they were so fucking stupid that you need to have a new photograph and new fingerprints every single fucking time. And as I was getting fingerprinted, I just said, I didn't realize you needed a fingerprint every time. He goes, yep, every time. And I said, now, outside of the LTC application and, you know, as a law enforcement officer, how good are my fingerprints good for? He goes, oh, they never change.
You could have ground them off. You never know.
I should have.
Now, your department doesn't take care of the pictures, or you just mean when you went for the permit, you had to
Yeah. It's actually hilarious. I've got both, you know, both the permits right here, and one picture is like clear and looks like me, and the other one is a weird colored smudge.
A smudge.
Yep. So they're just gonna look at that and go, yeah, I guess that looks like him. He's got darkish blonde hair.
He's human.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He has at least one eye.
Either glasses or really weird eyebrows.
I have both, actually. But I trim them.
Manscaping.
So,
we do have topics for this.
Yeah, we do have topics, and I wanted to start off with Brita's discovery.
Right.
And
I have discoveries. So lately I've been noticing in the media and gosh, even among politicians standing up and speaking that this whole kind of anti-gun thing, you know, you don't need a gun for self-defense, you know, that sort of thing has been kind of, not kind of, it's been really directed at women. And it seems almost like, you know, the message, that's the message that's going out right now. You know, you remember back in the days when they had the journalist, when, you know, all of the media, like they had these secret messages and the secret email group and they would all coordinate their stories and, you know, kind of, it's like propaganda to me, but, you know, and it seems like now that the anti-gun message is being directed intentionally at women. And so I was thinking, why is that? And it seemed really weird to me and I couldn't figure it out. Like, and everybody, a lot of people have different theories, you know, is it because women are the biggest, growing group of gun owners, or is it just because, you know, the liberals hate women and don't want us to be self-sufficient? You know, what is the reason? And so I kept poking around on the internet and looking in Google News and doing different searches. And I found that they have started polling women who don't normally go to the polls at the midterms. You know, low income, all these different qualifications of these women that don't normally go to the polls in the midterms. And they probably asked them a bunch of questions like what are the causes that would make you want to go vote in the midterms? And gun violence is up there among those women. And these are the women that turned out big time to reelect Obama because of the birth control thing. So it's looking to me that they're trying to, like, send this anti-gun message to women to, you know, in the midterms, get out the vote. So it really, it's not about guns. I mean, it is about guns, but not in the way you think. It's about the election.
Well, they would really, really love to take the House back.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. They, you know, whatever's getting the people out to the polls, they're going to use.
Well, and,
speed up them.
Well, and, yeah. And this is, I just want to mention, there's the link, I put a link to it in the blog. This is not supposition on Brita's part. This is actual, you know, this is like, I don't know, whatever policy or whatever. I mean, they come out and admit it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, this is going to be one of those issues that'll bring women out to vote.
Right.
In the midterms when they normally wouldn't. So. And that's what they're doing.
We're not, this isn't just supposition. I just wanted to make that clear.
I'd love to actually hear from any women listeners if you want to call in.
Well, we do have a caller.
Yay, good.
And I don't know who this is, but it says Brownsville, Texas. And I only know one, well, I know two people in Brownsville, Texas. Hello, Brownsville, Texas.
Hello, this is Ken.
It is Ken. Hello, Ken.
Hey.
Thanks
Hi,
for
Ken.
Calling.
Pardon me?
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I couldn't help it. After I heard Brita, all I could think was, it's always about the election with them. Always.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It just never seems to stop. I don't understand the mentality of women without guns and wanting to see them that way. You know, is it that, you know, the Democrat mindset is, well, we got to go, you know, rape women and page boys and drive them off of bridges.
It does seem to be one of the problems with that group. You know, Bill Clinton, you better get some ice for that. You know, it's. And the crazed sex poodle, Al Gore.
They do seem to like the non-consensual sex.
Yeah.
That the not the it's not rape.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's, you know, in addition to maybe, you know, helping win the election, there's the added benefit. I think these guys that you know, you see these guys stand up here all the time and you know, talk about, well, you know, pretty little thing, you wouldn't want to shoot your boyfriend, would you? You know, just because he got drunk and didn't listen to no means no. I think it's because these guys are politicians, and you know, they're kind of that way anyway, right? I mean, these guys that get into politics and get elected and stuff, these are all sociopaths, right? These are not people that really give a shit about your feelings.
Oh yeah, there's no egomania and, you know, self will and selfishness, self centeredness. None of that in politics.
Right, Ken? Do you think that this kind of tactic might? Do they run the risk maybe of turning away women? Because they keep talking about rape, like they keep saying, and it for some reason the issue is just focused on rape. As if that is the only violence that ever occurs to women. You know what I mean? And they just keep on bringing it up. And I think a lot of women might, I hope so, they might put themselves in that sort of situation and think, wait a minute. Do you think that there's a chance that it might backfire on them?
It could. You know, let's look at their actions just today with the renewal and the strengthening of the Violence Against Women Act. You know, they're trying to put out the message that the government is here to be daddy and take care of us and all that. That's been the constant message. They're doing everything that they can to squash the idea of self-reliance and make you reliant upon the government for everything. Now, I still think that Sam said it best when my mother-in-law freaked that I gave her a gun for a wedding present.
Mm-hmm.
Sam said, "Nothing, Mom, says I love you like I want to come home and find you in one piece, unharmed and unmolested when I come home."
Right.
You know, and I it doesn't make any more sense to me. You know, the idea of allowing women makes no more sense to me than anti-gun Jews. Although, hasn't history proven itself out enough times that we know people are going to persecute the Jews? It's happened since God knows when. All we have to do is look at the Middle East and see if it's going to happen again. We know that animals in society are going to target the weakest among us. It just happens to be that, at least physically, very often that's the women.
Right. I don't know. I think there's a lot of projection that goes on with anti-gun stuff. You know, women for one thing, women grow up being told that we're too emotional for guns. And you internalize that, and you all the PMS jokes and things like that, you know, and it really sinks in that, oh, and women are nurturers. Women don't kill, women nurture. And there's like this whole message that women, you know, guns aren't for you, honey.
How the fuck is it they can tell us in one breath that we're having women in combat and yet that you can't shoot the rapist who's crawling on top of you?
I have no idea. I have no idea. It's a good question. I don't know.
If y'all are too unstable, I mean, you know.
You expect consistency from politicians?
No.
I mean, come on. This is the they're made of inconsistency.
Common sense has become an uncommon thing in this land.
Yeah.
It just doesn't track. Well, thank y'all. I'm going to say adios and go make dinner.
Well, thanks
okay,
for
have
calling.
Have a good night, Ken. Thanks for calling.
Good night, y'all.
Thanks a lot.
They eat dinner in Texas?
Absolutely.
I learned something new.
And, well, that was Ken, so that's our first caller that's, I don't think he's called before.
I don't think he has either.
No.
So we've got another 23 people on. Well, 22 people. Well, let's see. Minus that one, minus Roadkill.
Oh, okay,
minus,
no map. There's no math.
All right. Okay. So we've got about 18 people that are listening right now that have never called in before. So,
and none of them are from the People's Republic of China.
If you're not, you know, if you're sitting there and there's not a phone in your hand and you're listening to this on hold right now, then pick up the damn phone and call.
That's right. You're making big rocks into little rocks in Sichuan.
That's right.
Matt St. Jack made a good point just now in the chat. And he said, it's okay. The Democrats passed the Violence Against Women Act.
Oh, so there'll be more rape kits.
Oh, everything's okay now. Pass a law.
Yep, because
I looked at this Violence Against Women thing, and it's like the after the fact.
Yeah.
It's throw money at it.
It's
throw money at it after the fact.
It's money for counseling and rape kits.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I'm sorry you're raped. Here's $20.
Right, exactly.
Don't you feel better?
Oh, God.
That's almost like being like a...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if...
Yeah, it is.
That's like the government making you into a whore.
Well, this Violence Against Women Act was... They re-upped it. This was not the first time they passed this.
Right.
So I think it was 1994 or something they passed it the first time. I can't remember, but I don't recall hearing that this Violence Against Women Act, like, did anything to reduce violence against women. You know, I throw money at it. That'll fix it.
Well, no, it's because it's there to increase violence.
And what's funny is when it was held up in Congress, the caterwauling from people that was just ridiculous. You had these people that were going on and on about how, oh, people are going to get raped because this bill's not going to get passed and blah, de blah, de blah. And, you know, from listening to them talk, you'd think that this law would make rape impossible. And if you didn't pass this law, then you were as good as a rapist.
And if it's
you don't pass gun laws, you hate children,
right?
Obviously,
it's just right. And that's a very you hear this all the time with all these grand sounding laws. Oh, this and you hear them. I can't count the number of times I've heard somebody stand up and go, "We need to pass this so you know this law so X won't happen or so Y will happen," and. You know, completely ignoring the fact that there's no causal link between passing a law and something happening. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's for them to put on their resumes. Look, I passed this blah-blah-blah law. Vote for me.
Right.
You know, and Ken was right. Our caller was right. He said it's always about the next election for them.
Yep.
So.
Hey, that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
And if this is for, like, rape kits and counseling and all that. Well, if women don't get raped, what good does this do?
Well, you know, when did a government program result in less of whatever it's intended to get rid of?
Hey, Obama raised our taxes, so we have less money.
That worked.
You know,
the
war on drugs brought us more drugs. Poverty brought us more poverty. So the Violence Against Women Act obviously is going to bring us more violence against women. I don't, you know.
Oh, come on, you fucking cynical libertarian assholes. Just think about the war against poverty. Just, you know what? Now there's no poor people.
Yeah, right.
Or drugs.
They did a sneaky little thing, though. They decided, and this has been a while back. You know, they used to define poverty as a certain standard of living. You know, like if you didn't have enough food, or you didn't have, you know, you didn't have like a roof over your head, that was like you were in poverty. If you know, now they've redefined it as a percentage of the median income. So if your income is not, you know, I forget whatever it is, whatever the percentage of some relationship to the median income, then you're living in poverty. So we have people, you know, depending on where you live, you know, we have people that are making a shitload of money that are still called, you know, poor people because there's a billionaire that lives there.
In other words, if you own a $250,000 house in Beverly Hills,
right,
you're poor.
You're poor. Yeah, exactly.
I think at $250,000 in Beverly Hills, you officially qualify for Poe.
Hey, look at this. We got all of a sudden we have a shitload of callers.
Hey!
I'm threatening people. Good. Damn it.
Don't make me hunt you down.
This is area code 843. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great. Who's this?
This is Ben. I wanted to kind of change topics. I kind of want to get into the TSA and the now allowing knives on planes.
Oh, yeah.
And love is, you know, we talk about them defining assault rifles as a set of, you know, non-functional features. And it seems like they're doing the same thing, TSA, with these knives, whereas if it's wider than a certain width and has a lock on it and finger grooves, all of a sudden it's more dangerous than, you know, this other knife.
Yes.
It's an assault knife.
which is funny because actually a knife that a blade that doesn't lock is actually more dangerous than one that does lock for the person using it.
You cut your finger. Ow, right. Damn it.
So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's It is. It's just like the assault weapon thing applied to knives.
And then you get all these other people shitting their pants because a less than 3-inch blade is all of a sudden going to take. All of a sudden, we're like, oh God, the planes are going to crash, you know? Yeah. And what people don't realize is the terrorists at 9/11 didn't succeed because they had box cutters. They succeeded because bureaucrats told people, do not resist.
Yep. That's right.
That's what caused those planes to go down, not because they had box cutters. It's because the erratic policy at that time was, if you're hijacked, don't resist, comply.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine.
That paradigm changed on September 11th.
Actually, my boss asked me about the knife thing today because she knows I have issues with the TSA. She's like, well, what do you think about them letting knives on now? And I just shrugged. I was like, I don't care, really. I mean, one way or the other, if somebody tries something with a knife, they're going to get tackled and the crap beat out of them by the other passengers. They've already proven passengers are willing to, you know.
Yep.
Passengers are resisting.
Ideally, they should be taken off the plane in a baggie.
Yeah,
plus,
really.
Plus, I don't know about you, Brita, but I've been looking through my rather extensive knife collection.
I don't have one of those knives.
And all the knives that I have, I've got a few that comply, and they just sit here on my desk.
Yeah, I don't carry a knife like that. That's like a little weenie knife. I don't. I'm sorry.
How dare you talk about my weenie like that?
It's like a nail file. What are you going to do with that thing? I don't know.
Actually, that's what I use mine for.
See? Yeah, there you go.
I think our caller's trying to get a word in.
Good.
I can't remember what I thought about. It might have been Weird Sight where he said that it was Leatherman and Vitronox that lobbied the TSA. And it's kind of funny that the knives that meet the qualifications fit Leatherman and Vitronox's knives.
Imagine that.
Funny how that works.
See, I'd argue the other way. You want from the business owner's perspective, you want those knives confiscated because that means people buying more.
Well, it was mentioned that it was when the TSA banning knives is what put the Uncle Henry Knife Company out of business.
Really?
Wow.
Because a lot of their sales were to companies as presentation knives. And so when they stopped buying them because they couldn't really give them out because they'd be confiscated.
That's right.
That was a big part of their business, and that basically killed their company. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't the only factor, but it was a contributing factor.
Huh. Interesting, yeah. Yeah, because you get business travelers.
I don't know if a lot of people know all the old Henry, Uncle Henry and old-timer knives you see now. They're made in China now. Somebody bought that brand. But the factory that made them in the U.S. is gone.
Huh.
But anyway, that was my little contribution.
Well, great.
I'll let you back to the topic now.
Thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
Have a good
Talk
weekend.
To you later.
Bye.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
And if you make Uncle Henry knives in China, please call in.
I'm sure somebody makes a copy. We got more callers.
Good.
This one's Bowling Green, Kentucky, area code 270. Hello. Hello.
Greetings, caller.
You can talk to us.
There's only one person I know in Kentucky.
Now, when you say a green, I'm thinking a field. How do you bowl in it? The ball just stops.
No, my phone's not working. Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Yes.
Can you hear us?
It was not working for a while. I could hear all you guys.
Oh.
Who is this?
This is Tommy, a.k.a. Oh, hi, Tommy. Lazy Bike Commuter. Actually in Dayton, but, you know, cell phones, old numbers.
I see. How you doing, Tommy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. I was just thinking about the whole liberals being anti-gun for rape protection thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I imagine my wife carrying a gun, I imagine her defending herself from a rapist or something. But when Bill Clinton imagines it, he imagines getting shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bill.
There's a lot to that.
They're just, you know, I think they just see themselves as the aggressors instead of as the ones who need to be defended.
Well, that's just part and parcel of their whole, you know, disarm the subjects thing, right? I mean, you can't tell people what to do who are armed and can disagree with you.
You didn't build that fine ass.
Exactly. And I mean, I've got over 10 years of martial arts experience, so it doesn't hold a lot of water for me that women need to carry a pen and take a self-defense class.
Oh, because, no. I'm not doing that. I'm lazy.
And I was about 225 pounds in my best shape. And even somebody who's way better than me, who is smaller and a female, they just wouldn't have a chance, really.
Nope. Yeah.
Self inspiring.
Mass wins
you have to
every
be
time.
So much better than an aggressor who's much larger than you.
Yep.
Yes, but if you can poke 3.355 inch holes through them, on the other hand.
Oh, it's like it equalizes the force. I see. Oh, I don't want equal force. I want women to have more. And, you know, me too. But I'm not for equality of force. I'm for overwhelming force on the side of good.
There you go. Yeah. Strike quickly and surely.
If you're in a fair fight, you're doing it wrong.
That's right. Yeah, because the last thing you want is a fair fight with your rapist, right? You know, let me give you time.
Get my gloves on.
Yeah, exactly.
Stretch first. Some of the weirdest stuff about it, though, has actually come from some of the martial arts community. The guy who I studied under, who took me to buy my first gun 12 years ago and has his concealed carry permit and carries all the time, is incredibly against college students carrying and also teachers carrying.
Interesting.
I can't make any sense of it. He's a liberal, I'll tell you that, which holds a lot of water for me.
I think it's part of the liberal, I am the only one smart enough, good enough, moral enough to go carry a gun.
Yeah, it's starting to seem that way.
Yeah.
I'm fine. The rest of you I'm worried about.
Right.
Exactly. And yep. He doesn't have a lot of gun training either, I'll tell you that.
Or the if you guys were all as fucking awesome as I was, then you'd be fine to carry a gun. But since
we get a lot of that in the gun community.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should get training if you can, but just because you can't pay $800 for a Mag 40 or something doesn't mean you can't carry.
Yeah. Other than, I don't know, on the training thing, I always come down on the side of, you know, other than operational training, like, you know, practicing, you know, operating your gun and practicing putting a bullet, you know, where you want it to go. The only training you need is, you know, point the opened end at the thing you want the hole in and pull the trigger. I mean, there's not much more to it than that.
Point it at the bad guys and shoot.
Yeah.
And luckily, if you've got you know, a magazine that holds more than, you know, if you've got more than a double-barreled shotgun, as Joe Biden would say, And you know what? If you miss number one, that muzzle flash is pretty scary shit. And you've got more tries.
I would even go so far as to say that you can overtrain for something. You know, you could spend so much time training for an unlikely thing that when a situation where you need to shoot something comes up, that you kind of freeze up because it's not something you train for.
You keep looking to go urban prone under a car.
Right. Or, you know, shoot a cardboard target. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, that we went through this whole desensitizing of the target thing, right? But if all you shoot's cardboard, you know, if something doesn't look like cardboard, maybe you'll freeze up for a second before you pull the trigger.
So remember, for good tactical training, if you want to be as good as all of us, you need to shoot your friends.
There you go.
There you go.
Woo. I think the only Joe Biden likes shotguns so much is that his vice presidents are allowed to shoot people with them.
Oh, boy.
To be fair, though, you need to be really stinking drunk when you do it. That's the only way it's okay.
Here, hold my beer.
It's weird talking about Dutch rudders again.
No.
What? No. Whatever that is now.
So, anyway. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
We've had some nice new callers, and we need more. So y'all keep calling in. That's 214-530-0036, and we got about 15 people that need to call in that haven't yet. So,
yep. McFag, you're in the chat. You're fucking on notice.
So
calling people out.
Our other big topic. Which
what is your favorite gun-shaped thing that's not a gun?
Yeah.
Florida.
Florida.
So
I learned that the county I live in Ohio is Lake County, Ohio is gun shaped.
So
got liberals.
We're having kids arrested by police.
Yeah.
For things like a Pop Tart shaped like a gun. I'm not even sure what that is, you know.
And they are also offering the classmates counseling.
Yeah.
Because of the Pop Tart gun.
Yeah. And the piece of paper shaped like a gun. So basically any L shaped thing is suddenly a gun.
You're banning the letter L.
And then you've got the girl with the Hello Kitty bubble maker thing that, you know. And I was just here. I was just reading a thing this morning. Somebody, a kid drew a picture in school of his dad shooting a gun. And this was in Canada, I think it was. I mean,
it wasn't here,
but it was in Canada. And the cops pulled this kid out of school, went and arrested the parents and searched the house, didn't tell them what they were arresting them for or what they were looking for or anything. And then, when, you know, after they got through trashing the house and found that, you know, actually there were no guns, they were like, oh, well, you know, we had better, you know, we had to be safe. We had to be sure.
Yeah. Hey, at least it wasn't the LAPD. Yeah. They would have burned the house down.
Yeah, so it's crazy. And we have a caller. Tarpon Spring, Florida, area code 727. Oh. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
This is McFag.
McFag.
Right.
We had shamed you into calling. Something.
I have been called out. I have responded.
Thank you.
I met that dude.
Yeah, all right. First I got to say something is McFag and I met at a lovely Tampa blog meet. And I got to say it was one of those I was super excited because McFag and I and Breed et al. Are buddies back from the Live Journal days. We all cut ourselves and felt bad for ourselves. God. And I went, "Oh my God, I can't wait to meet this dude." And I sat down and just started talking to people. And, you know, at the end of the blog meet, I said, well, shit, I don't know. Did he not make it? What's going on? And it turns out the dude I was sitting across the table with and talking the whole fucking time was you.
Oh, that's great.
He just happened to give his real name, which isn't Angus McFag.
No. Really?
Well, Harvey said I couldn't tattoo it on my forehead like I wanted to.
That would be a good look for you.
Like a plenty of real estate, but no hair.
But it was one of those. It was kind of hilarious that the dude that I like hung out and talked with the most throughout the whole thing was the old online buddy.
Well, Well, we knew your name because Rob introduced you correctly.
That's correct.
I figured he'd take care of that for the rest of us, but apparently not.
Hmm. You'll just have to change your name now.
Again, Harvey has pulled the override handle on that.
Or you could just be like me.
She doesn't let you get away with anything. Pardon?
I said, or you could be like me and just use your old college nickname. Everybody calls me Weird Beard. Even my wife on occasion.
So what is your favorite non-gun-shaped gun thing that could get you suspended if you were in, you know, fifth grade still?
Unfortunately, that would be the all the various gun-shaped things that we made to support our role-playing habits.
Oh, I was going to say Corvette.
No, that's the penis substitute that I use instead of a gun.
Yeah, I was thinking about all the sticks we used to run around with on the playground pretending they were guns. And the pine cone hand grenades and, you know.
I was thinking more along the lines of, they're arresting kids for drawing pictures of guns. It was one of those, they made us cover our textbooks with old paper shopping bags.
Yep.
So the covers wouldn't get all scuffed up. And guess what was drawn all over my brown paper book covers was Hawk. That would have gotten me suspended and rightfully so. But no, it was always pictures of guns and violence and grenades and all sorts of good stuff that would have gotten me evidently now arrested.
I tell the story about my son when he was 2 years old. We bought him a little baby doll because he was about to have a little sister. There's going to be a baby in the house. So it was kind of a, you know, there's going to be another kid here. So we got him a little baby doll. We took a look at it, kind of poked at it for a bit, ignored it, came back to it later, picked it up by the head, pointed the legs at the wall, and went bang, bang, bang. Now, we've never been ones for, you know, you're a boy, you must play with trucks, or conversely, we're not going to gender stereotype our children, you can play with dolls. It was just, what do you like? Mostly Legos that I stepped on.
Did he make Lego doll. Guns?
And what did he eat? Bingo. Lego guns, yeah. Nerf guns, and apparently a baby doll whose legs are
guns.
Joe Biden's double-barreled shotgun. My son channeled awesome. Joe Biden at 2 years old. So,
And can I just say that, does anything hurt worse than a Lego at 2 a.m. on your way to the bathroom?
Because you always catch the stupid little skinny ones and they go sideways.
Oh, no. I think McFag will back me up. A
D4.
D4. A what?
A D4.
Oh, yeah. Totally. The fucking yeah. Caltron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A four-sided is definitely more painful than a Lego because they can penetrate.
Wow.
True.
Yeah, all of us hardcore D&D players have taken a D4 to the leg. Yep. I used to be an adventurer like you, and then I took a D4,
took a D4 to the knee.
That's why you switch to GURPS. It only uses six-sided. You're safe from the pointy weirdo dice.
You can take my D20 from my cold, dead hand.
But do you have a giant plush D20?
No, I don't.
Oh, we made that.
Oh, those are just special.
Tisk, holy shit. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, well, in my defense, I was never that much of a, you know, board, you know, gamer.
He said board game.
I think board was the correct part of that.
I knew a guy that flunked out his freshman year in college because he never went to class. He just sat around his dorm room and played D&D all day.
Wow.
I knew guys like that, except you substitute D&D for beer.
Oh, yeah. Well,
for crack whore?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling, McThag. We got another caller here.
No problem. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Thag.
And this is MDev.
Hey,
hello, MDev.
Hey.
All right. Someone who's never called in before.
I know. Well, I was going to call.
We need the MDev segment.
I was going to call in for my wife's number just so you would think that I was a new caller.
You should have.
We're wise to your tricks.
I know. I know.
So what's your favorite?
Yeah, I've been kind of in and out on this thing, but I actually have a theory on this whole why all the anti-gun shit's focused on women.
Okay.
And this is me fighting very hard to not go all conspiracy or whatever. It's pretty well proven that, like, women drive the household spending. I'm wondering if they're trying to eliminate new gun owners by, if the husband says, you know, hey, honey, I think maybe it is time we go out and we, you know, get ourselves a couple of pistols. And then the wife says, hell no. Well, now you've eliminated two new gun owners.
That's an interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Didn't work in my household. Now my wife owns guns.
Yeah, didn't work here either.
It didn't, and
an old stove.
Yeah, it doesn't work in our house either. But I'm just saying, I wonder if that's their approach.
Well, you know, the liberals are known for doing things that don't work, so it's entirely possible.
That's why I thought this was their approach, because it wasn't working.
It could be. It could be, definitely.
I'm still buying into the largest growing demographic is they're seeing the women suddenly buying into the gun thing. It's no longer women, and I mean the next thing we're going to see is minorities, and we're seeing a little bit of that.
Oh,
already.
We already are, yeah, absolutely.
You know, with the whole you know, well, I mean the urban versus rural situation, which is just saying, well, I can see your right to own a gun, you know, so long as you're, you know, a good white man. But you know, if you're black or Hispanic and you live, you know, and you live where black and Hispanics live, well, it's probably not the best idea for you to own a gun because crazy people will get your gun,
right,
or something other, you know, as that makes as much sense as that.
So, MDev, you're going with the whole hand that rocks the cradle rules the world type, thing.
My favorite, it's funny, I'm young enough that I actually grew up in, like, I got yelled at when we were, when we had, like, a Civil War dress-up day in, I think it was fifth grade, and I got told to take my holster off because it looked aggressive. There wasn't anything in the holster, but I had, like, a cool Old West, actually it was, like, a cowboy-style holster. On a Civil War costume, it didn't really match well, but I got told that wasn't appropriate for school.
You'd have been arrested today.
Well, it's funny because this was down in Oregon, where DHL holders are allowed to carry into schools. So it brought great glee every time I would pick my brother up and, you know, be totally fine concealed carrying, but knowing that nobody in there could draw a picture of the gun.
Yeah.
You
funny,
know.
Funny how that works.
It doesn't have to make sense.
Yeah. Oh, of course. It never makes sense. That's you're asking for it to make sense just means you're racist or something.
Well, obviously.
So. Yep. Hey, thanks for calling him, Dev. We got another caller.
Hey, no problem. Go ahead and finish out your show, and what I've caught so far.
We have the official NDEV seal of approval.
That's right. Good. And this is J.B. Miller.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Greetings, human.
Greetings, human.
I
am a meat popsicle.
Hey. My favorite gun-shaped thing is, you know, my finger because it's got a hammer built in and all that.
Pew, pew.
And pew, 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 pew. And, oh, man, you see on the news where kids are getting suspended from, you know, playing cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians on the playground. It's ridiculous. And of those things, the most ridiculous thing I heard this week, did you hear about the school that went into total lockdown and freak out and they called 911 and suddenly there's cops arresting this kid? Because he had the theme from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on his answering machine.
His phone, yeah.
He was in the song, he's rapping, and he's talking about shooting b-ball. And the woman in the office thought they said shooting people.
Oh, my God.
and she hung up the phone, and immediately called 911. And the next thing you know, the school's in full lockdown, and there's cops showing up. It's like a SWAT team showing up at this kid's house. And it's totally ridiculous. I mean, they're so out of hand with this whole thing. It's incredible to me.
Yep. It's insane.
You know, I think about it when I was in high school and in elementary school, and, oh, man, it was completely different. My elementary school had a rifle range in the basement. And, you know, we'd take, you know, gun safety for gym class.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, during hunting season, the parking lot in my high school is completely full of, you know, trucks with gun racks in them because they're going hunting before or after school. Even the teachers are in the parking lot checking out each other's shotguns. It's ridiculous.
Wow. Yep.
Not anymore.
Well, and there must have been so many shootings at your school.
What's that?
There must have been so many shootings at your school. More guns equals more gun death,
blood,
more crime.
Blood in the halls.
Yeah, you know, it still shocks me, and I say this all the time. You know, if people really care about gun deaths in schools, you know, the thing that they have to do, you know, like swimming pools used to kill a lot of children. So how did they solve that problem? They taught kids how to swim.
Right.
They taught them how to be safe around swimming pools.
Yep.
And that was the philosophy when I was a kid. Okay, guns are a dangerous thing.
Yep.
Let's teach everybody had to take the safety classes, you know, boys, girls, everybody. And they had, you know, bolt-action 22 caliber rifles. They had an indoor rifle range that was right underneath the gymnasium that was also the civil defense shelter, which they don't have in schools anymore. But that was fun. A lot of kids really loved that.
And it also desensitizes them to the allure of the, ooh, gun, you know.
Yeah, that's what worries me. I was having a discussion on Facebook with a friend of mine. His wife completely freaked out about, you know, the idea of his children ever touching a gun. And my feeling was, look, you should actually, if nothing else, have your kids trained enough so that they can tell the difference between a toy gun and a real gun. Because this friend of mine, he has got this kid that I swear to God, if he ever laid his hands on a real gun, the very first fucking thing he would do is point it at somebody and pull the trigger. Absolutely, I would guarantee it. And I was like begging him to make sure that this kid has some safety training. I mean, it's ridiculous how stupid people are about, you know, keeping their kids safe. Because
you could have stopped it. It's ridiculous at how stupid people are.
Yeah, definitely.
But you're right. I mean, we teach kids, look both ways before you cross the street. Don't drink bleach. Don't touch the stove when it's hot. You know, cut away from yourself when you're cutting with a knife. You know, things like that. I mean, they're just simple things, and they're safety things.
Yeah, but we also have school
zones. And people take classes to learn how to drive, and cars are dangerous if you don't,
that's,
you know.
Right.
I don't understand the difference. Why guns are such a huge emotional issue in this way.
My friend's wife, she was completely adamant, oh, my children will never be around guns ever. And, you know, she was so adamant about it. We'll never have a gun in our house. And I told her, look, there are guns in one out of three households in this country. And I can pretty much guarantee that your kid's been playing in a house where there were guns. And it wouldn't surprise me, because I read a survey somewhere, by the time a kid is 15 years old, they've been exposed to marijuana and have laid their hands on a real gun. And I can remember when I was a little kid, you know, and I knew how guns worked. And, geez, I was 10 years old. My dad was just like, let me go out and shoot rabbits. And, you know, kids these days, if they were to find a gun in a house, they'd be so curious about it, and especially if you've made it so mystical and such, you know, so taboo.
And someone's just shotgunned a joint up your nose.
Oh, geez.
getting exposed to marijuana and guns at the same time.
At the same time.
Perfect Lovely. Score.
Hey, thanks for calling, JB. Hey.
Got, all right. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good weekend. We got two more people lined up.
Hmm. Nice. Okay. Talk to them.
This is area code 503. Hello.
Hey, Alan. This is KJ.
Hey.
Ooh. Can you turn up the sound a little bit?
Yeah, well, I'm not really. It's about as loud as it can go.
Speak into the microphone.
I'm sorry about that. It's the old phone line.
Yeah.
Very old phone line. I think it came with the house, so like a 100-year-old phone line.
It's a little louder.
Yeah, it is good.
Okay, well, I'm trying to yell to help. But now, I think what you see with the anti-gun focus on women and stuff like that, it's not that liberals are necessarily trying to influence women. It's that they're inherently bigoted. Every time they call us a racist, any one of us a racist, it's projection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, let's face it, they feel guilty because of what was done wrong in the past. Well, that was in the past. It's no longer done. We don't feel guilty about it, but they think that somehow starting out from behind means that you stay behind forever. And that just doesn't work out. I mean, most of the United States is immigrants. Why is it that only three or four groups have decided to start bawling and have decided that they need help, and people have been helping them decide they need help?
Right. Well, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of the anti-gun stuff is aimed at the urban community and women. Two of the biggest, like, special interest groups that the liberals love. So, you know, if they keep those two groups helpless in all sorts of ways, it guarantees them the vote, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. And they have their thumb on the bread and circuses.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's always been their series of party planks, and it's always been their mantra. Vote for us, and in exchange for controlling you, you'll get some free things. I think that was actually Mad Mike Williamson in one of his Freehold books said that.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that was about, you know, his big space UN thing, but it applies equally well to the Democrat Party.
No, I completely agree. I mean, the Democrat Party was the party of the plantation owners and the slave owners, and now they're trying to claim that they aren't that way anymore. Even though, let's face it, they are. Except for instead of the slaves, you know, picking cotton for them, the slaves are now just are now growing votes.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, but that's.
I know.
Pretty much what it is.
I know. It's just terrible, though.
Yeah. On another note, with the guns in schools, I only graduated high school 4 years ago now. And I had a couple things where today, yeah, they probably would have called a SWAT team and shot me because I accidentally brought my pocket knife, or in one case, 10 rounds of .22 to school.
Oops.
I had 10 rounds of .22 LR in my pocket. Ooh. I was able to go to the vice principal, and we worked it out from there. Today, they would have thrown me in handcuffs at the least.
Oh, yeah.
That's 5 years in prison in Massachusetts for each round, just so you know.
Yeah, when I was in school, I carried a pocket knife, you know, every day to school, every day. And the shop teacher was like, it was funny because the shop teacher said, you know, he actually gave somebody an F one day because they didn't have a pocket knife.
Yeah, that's actually my cousin. We graduated the same year. We're about the same age. Same school, actually. it was kind of a don't ask, don't tell thing with pocket knives. There was a point where he was in math class, and he asked his math teacher for a knife, and his teacher said, "You've got one, don't you?" So he whipped his pocket knife out and cut what needed to be cut. You couldn't do that today in that school district, but it's only 1 or 2 years in the past. And like I said, we're 10 years behind the times around here, and it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and meanwhile, at my old job, I was kind of the jack of all trades, and so I'd at one point I was receiving packages, so I'd be walking around the office giving people the stuff that they'd ordered, and they'd be futzing around with these like boxes that were taped all to shit, and they'd just say, "God, I can't open it, can you open this for me?" Because they knew I carried a knife. And so I'd pull out my pocket knife, and it'd just be a basic liner lock. And so I'd flip it open, and at that click, and as soon as I'd start cutting, they'd just be like, oh, like I was about to slash their jugular. And I'm like, what the fuck? You just asked me to open this for me.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that
doesn't happen around here.
Don't be scared of me for carrying a knife, because it's not like I got it for something sinister. It's there's shit that needs to get opened around here. You're too much of a sissy to carry your own goddamn knife so you can open your own packages. And now you're getting freaked out at me because I've got the necessary tool for the job. I mean, that's like that's like, the sommelier at the restaurant, pulling out the corkscrew to uncork your wine, going, "Oh my God, he's got a corkscrew." No. Or the carpenter, "Oh my God, he's got a power saw." Yeah, shit needs to get cut.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, I gotta go. Have a good night. I'll be listening.
Great.
Thank you.
Taco soup to catch on this end.
Thanks for calling.
Great call. Yeah,
bye.
And we got one more caller. Hello. Area code 360. I know who this is.
Are they Chinese?
That would be me.
It's Bradley.
And I'm on my other phone line.
Your other phone
line. So I figured that makes me a new caller.
Oh. No. It doesn't.
How's Hawaii?
I'm on Vonage, not my cell phone.
Can you speak Mandarin?
No, I don't speak Mandarin.
Fuck you.
I can almost say hello in Cantonese, but the Cantonese people look at me stupid, so I think I'm saying it wrong. So
you know what? We need to get Ying to call in so she can say something in Chinese, so our Chinese listeners will.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So how's Hawaii today?
It was cold. It only got up to like 81, and literally I had to put my sweater on in the office because the AC was just killing me.
Bradley, I got to say, I'm missing the Hawaiian shirt updates on Facebook.
Well, I haven't had any new Hawaiian shirts until I got a new one in yesterday, so I'll have a Hawaiian shirt update for tomorrow because
awesome.
It's Hawaiian Shirt Friday.
Excellent. I'm excited.
But hearing all these people talk about things they used to do in school and used to carry, then got me thinking, my aunt had at least two knives on me, sometimes three, all the way through school. You had your pocket knife, and then because I was a geek and a wrench, I carried a Gerber or a multi-tool. And because I was a cowboy, I usually had a boot knife stuck in my boot because, I just thought it was cool. But you couldn't even walk by a school like that nowadays.
Nope.
Yeah. I carried a Swiss Army knife in high school in my backpack, and it was one of those, I still have it. It's one of the Swiss Army knives with a whole bunch of widgets on it. And I never got in trouble for it. I'm sure people knew I had it. I mean, it wasn't even like, it was like, oh, it's a Swiss Army knife,
Yep.
Big deal.
All the girls I knew had a knife or scissors or something in their purse. They usually carried aspirin or Tylenol. I know because I was always in pain, so I was asking them. If I'd say something stupid and sexist and they'd hit me, they'd give me Tylenol. I actually used to meet one of my teachers and the head brother there, Brother Mateus. On the opening day of deer season, we'd meet up at the school at like 3 a.m. so we could get to the woods before sunrise so we could go, get the deer first thing in and still make it to mass on time.
Nice.
You can tell who the lanterns were. We came in with muddy boots.
And hopefully you had something to be thankful for.
More often than not, but not as often as sometimes. Well, I remember opening day of deer season when it was my first year I was in the Army. I was in Georgia. And I was out there at like 2 a.m. I'm in my tree stand. I'm waiting. First light came up, and this buck walked right in front of me. It was a small buck because this is Georgia, and they don't crow real deer there. But shot it, threw it in the truck, went to the range control to get my stand taken care of. And there's my first sergeant. He's all, oh, checking out what zone disease so you can start hunting. I was like, yeah, sure. Don't look in the truck. I already got mine. He did not get one all year, and he blamed me for it.
Oh. You took it.
Getting those Georgia near deer, huh?
What's a near deer?
Deer. My fault.
Speed goat.
Yeah,
it was like 80 pounds dressed. Yeah. It was this little scrawny thing.
Oh, that's a dog. You shot a dog.
That's a cute little deer. It'll be really nice when it grows up.
It had like 8 points, so it was a older deer, but, you know, it's Georgia. They don't really grow big. I don't think they like the heat.
Probably not. Hey, thanks for calling. You know, we got one more call to get in, then we got to wrap it up.
Okay, no problem. Talk to you guys later.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Thanks, Bradley.
Your deer is the funniest thing fucking ever.
All right, one more call, then we're done. And this is from Tucson, Arizona, area code 520. Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
This is Cowboy Blob.
Awesome.
Hey.
It's the movie maker.
And I just wanted to tell you about my favorite gun-shaped thing. It's a, well, I've actually got a footlocker full of airsoft submachine guns and pistols that would just freak the police out if they ever broke into my place or legally busted into it.
They would claim you had an arsenal.
Yeah, I painted over all the orange. You know, the ignorant would say, oh, that's illegal. Well, it's not. It's just illegal to sell it that way.
You use them for your movie props, though, right?
Yes, they're for movie props.
Yeah. Well, you know, they always do a movie exemption, right?
Right. You're right. Good in New York.
Hence the reason why I have the pipe dream for Weird Beard's DIY porn studio.
It's all for movie production.
That's right. It's my own porn studio, and that means I can own machine guns.
There you go. That's
yeah. I figure once they break in and find out, darn, these are just props, then they find the safe, and then I got that to worry about.
Yeah, they'll shoot you anyway. You won't care.
Yeah, I'll be dead.
Yep.
But do you have a dog?
Maybe you should get
no. That'd be like the canary in the coal mine, you know, wait for the dog to get shot,
right?
You know, so I know the cops are here.
When the dog starts barking, stops barking. Burr.
Oh, yeah, silencers.
Yeah. Damn.
Tough crow.
Oh, well, all right. Hey, thanks for calling. But we're way over time, and we got to wrap it up. So,
okay.
Have a good
weekend.
Thanks
for being there.
Bye.
Thank you.
And, hey. Wow, we went over, but we had callers, so that's good.
And new callers, a lot of new ones.
Lots of new ones. Thank you all for calling in that called in, and screw you to the ones that didn't. So,
but it was an excellent show.
You have next week to call in, or
that's right.
We will send
Brita.
No, we won't send Brita because then they won't call in.
Oh,
we'll send Weird.
Whoa.
And a roll of duct tape. And you won't enjoy it.
I'll love you real good. No, they'll enjoy it. They might not admit to it, but I know deep down inside that they will be thinking loving thoughts as they put ice on that.
Oh, Lordy.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.